The Vermont Conversation with David Goodman is brought to you by Vermont Businesses for Social Responsibility and by Vermont Student Assistance Corporation, Stowe Cider, Green Mountain Power, Concept 2, Let's Grow Kids, The Alchemist Brewery, and by UVM Medical Center, Burlington, Vermont, as well as nearly 700 business members of Vermont Businesses for Social Responsibility who believe that sustainable business practices value people, planet, and profit. Welcome back to the Vermont Conversation. I'm David Goodman. We're spending the hour this week talking about hunger in Vermont and the threats to the food stamp program, known in Vermont as Three Squares Vermont, known nationally as SNAP, that is coming down the line as the Trump administration proposes to slash nearly 10% of the total food stamp program. That is knocking over 3 million people off of food stamps. In Vermont, this will affect over 13,000 Vermonters who would lose benefits, including some 4,600 children who would lose benefits. We're joined for the hour with Honora Horton. She is the executive director of Hunger Free Vermont. And we're also joined in this half hour with Doug Davis. He's the food services director at the Burlington School District. Honora Horton, describe who a recipient of food stamps or Three Squares Vermont is in Vermont.
Yeah, well, there's many, many different kinds of folks who are recipients of Three Squares Vermont. Many of the people are children, and another very significant group of people are people with disabilities. Another very significant group are older Vermonters, many of them living on very limited fixed incomes, or perhaps Social Security is the only income that they have. And this particular threat of the Trump administration, who they want to cut off of the program, are people in a couple of different key categories. And one of them are, for example, older Vermonters, whose only income may be Three Squares Vermont, but they have a small amount of savings that they have held on to, and they are keeping those savings for an emergency or perhaps to pay their funeral expenses so their family doesn't have to incur that cost. And because they have that savings, as little as perhaps $4,000 to their names, they would lose their eligibility for Three Squares Vermont if these new changes went into effect. Whereas right now, with categorical eligibility, folks like the person, person I just described, or families who are saving some money in order to perhaps put down a security deposit on an apartment closer to their jobs, or saving up to have a little extra cushion to pay some additional medical expenses they see coming down the line, or braces for their kids. That's allowed in the program right now. And that would be disallowed if these new rule changes took effect, meaning that we would be telling people, don't save. and if you do, you're going to be punished with going hungry.
What is the motivation? Where is this coming from to essentially mount this full-scale assault on the most needy people?
Mm-hmm. Well, I can't really say for sure, because I'm not in the minds of the folks in the Trump administration who have been very committed to these making these changes.
Right. And as you noted in the first half hour, this is not a new proposal for them. They have been dedicated to this, working on this for years.
Yes. And we've seen this is just one. This would be the worst one for Vermont, but this is one of a series of efforts to cut and diminish the effectiveness of Three Squares Vermont, of SNAP nationally, that the Trump administration has been proposing. We've just been fighting a string of these, and there'll likely be more to come, unfortunately. But I think fundamentally the goal is to destroy these social safety net programs. But Everyone knows how popular they are, and so you can't do a frontal assault on them. So instead, you're going to cut around the edges and cut around the edges, all the while stigmatizing these programs in the public mind until it's just not worth it anymore for people to apply. And honestly, with the tax cuts that were passed and benefited, as we all know, for the most part, corporations and the wealthiest, there's a massive, massive deficit that the Trump administration has created. And now they have to find a way to try to pay for it. And they're paying for it on the backs of the most vulnerable and the lowest income working people. That's exactly what this is all about.
Well, we, as I mentioned, we have on the line Doug Davis. He's the Food Services Director for the Burlington School District. Doug, welcome to the Vermont Conversation.
Thanks, David. Happy to be here.
Talk about the face of hunger in the Burlington schools.
Yeah, the students started today, and I was able to visit three or four of our schools, and seeing the kids come in, first of all, it's my favorite day of the year. You know, just getting kids back in the school is amazing. But just watching the kids fill their trays, because here it is, the end of the month, you can see that families have been pushed to the edge, you know, between buying school clothes or getting the end of their month bills paid or, you know, treating their family to a day at the fair. Our students come in, their plates are piled high. To me, hunger in the Burlington schools doesn't differentiate necessarily by income. We all know how expensive it is to live in our state. So the school meal program around the state provides so much more than just nutrition for our lowest income families. The face of hunger in Burlington is the same as the face of hunger all around our state and all around our nation. These are children who are coming to school to take advantage of what our communities are investing. You know, our community's investment in education is most likely the highest amount of money they invest in anything. And we want to make sure, as child nutrition professionals, that our students are in the best position to learn.
What would it mean if the number of students eligible for Three Squares Vermont or food stamps was dramatically cut?
You know, I'm glad you asked, because we just wrapped up our summer meal program. You know, we start feeding kids in the summer the Monday after school lets out, and our last meal for the summer actually went out yesterday.
And are these often the only meals that some of these kids will have?
You know, it's in the summer, it's hard to say that, but we always look at every meal we serve and the access to those meals as the only meals those kids are going to get, because we have to put a value on them so that our team here and the other group of amazing child nutrition professionals around the state and nation provide the best meal they can for our kids. You know, is there any data to show that the only meal they're getting in the summer is ours? Not really, though I have had parents call me and thank me because those meals were the best meals that those students were able to receive over the summer. But Dave, I just want to, you know, touch base and let you know the numbers. You know, so in Burlington this past year, we had 23 sites available for students to drop in, and we served over 46,000 meals and snacks. And it's a 39-day summer. You know, if you start looking at it, you know, and take away weekends. And what that means is these students, regardless of income, because anyone can go to a summer meal site and eat at no charge. Nobody has to show any eligibility. Nobody has to show any ID. They simply have to be 18 years of age or younger to obtain that meal.
And is this breakfast and lunch or just lunch?
Some sites were breakfast and lunch. And we also did supper in the park at Roosevelt Park every day. Because that's also allowable. But I think what's important is that it is community eligibility that allows for summer meals. And the reduction in our direct certification numbers would put that at risk. The same with our supper program. We serve supper free of charge to all students, regardless of income, at 12 sites throughout the Burlington area. And that, too, is a program that is based on community eligibility. And so I had four children. So when they were teenagers, you can't keep enough food in their bellies. And if they're working in school all day, and then they're staying for baseball practice or play practice or band practice, they could be at school for, you know, 10, 11, 12 hours a day. Having that supper meal available also allows those students who are staying for homework club or other help to have a meal before they have that help or after that help before they go home. That's also true of the after-school snack program. All of these things are based upon community eligibility that would clearly be at risk.
So there's really, what I'm hearing is an extraordinary domino effect of lowering the number of kids who are eligible. You're just talking about community eligibility. So you need a certain percentage of your community to be eligible for Three Squares Vermont or free and reduced lunch, and that enables all your programs, and multiple programs begin collapsing as you whittle away the numbers.
You know, that's exactly right. And, you know, what we haven't heard touched on yet is that we are not the only group within the school or the community pulling this data to provide benefits to our kids. So, for example, a child on free or reduced price lunch, whether directly certified or otherwise, would get a waiver for college application fees, for example. They would also get a waiver for field trip costs, if there are any, or their household would receive reduced rate for internet service. All of these things that allow our students to be as successful as possible throughout their public schooling careers. You know, and these are things that weigh on families. You know, Lenore said very, very well that the money that people have in the bank can impact this. So if you look at the other benefits that would be lost, whatever little bit of money that they do have in the bank, assuming they don't need a medical bill or a funeral, is going to be spent on college applications or internet or other things that their students need to be successful in public school.
As I can hear from your voice, this is more than a job for you. This is something you're passionate about. What are you afraid of? What's your fear about what is coming down the pipeline for the children that you serve?
It's my fear has always been that we, you know, the clocks get turned back and students are overtly identified. Hunger is already one of the most humiliating things that we can put a child through. You know, if a student comes in to school and they don't have boots on, they go home with boots on. But if they come in with an empty belly, if they're too ashamed to tell us that or to share that or to somehow get that information out to a teacher or another school employee, then that just goes unheard. And eventually that student acts out, it's a behavior issue, or the student drops out altogether. You know, so what I'm most concerned about is that we start making hunger look more embarrassing and more humiliating than it already does. We're so fortunate to be in Burlington and to be in Vermont because people do understand the problem and are very empathetic to it. The ripple effect of this around the country could be devastating. We have so many of our schools in which, you know, many people with means are moving their children out of the public school system altogether. You know, so we're looking at public schools that are becoming more and more are becoming more concentrated with students of hunger or students that at risk of being hungry. And I just feel that, as Anor said, you know, we are looking at an administration that's just trying to pick away at the safety net that is necessary to protect our kids and communities.
Anor Horton, I know that you have written and spoken about the issue of stigma, the stigma of poverty, and the stigma of hunger. What can you do about that through food and through these kind of assistance programs?
Mm-hmm. Well, I just love what Doug just said, because what we can do is we can provide universal programs for people. That's what we can do.
Where and every child or every person who comes in gets a free meal.
That's right.
No questions asked.
And that is what schools all over Vermont and child care providers all over Vermont are already choosing to do and trying to do. And threats like this from the federal level are just going to make that commitment harder. I don't believe that that is going to stop our commitment here in Vermont to finding every way we possibly can to make more and more of our programs universal. And certainly when you look at the research that shows the degree to which eliminating hunger and malnutrition from a child's day in life transforms their ability to learn, transforms their health, keeps them out of the hospital, keeps them attending school. The benefits, the ripple effect, and the way in which that allows us to actually get the highest return on the investment that we are all making in educating the next generation who's going to lead Vermont after we're gone, that there's just no question that that's the direction we need to move in. And while we are taking these committed steps here in Vermont, at our local town level, in Montpelier, we also need to stand up and fight back against these proposed changes at the federal level. That's going to make that much more difficult for us and for everybody all around the country. You know, the message has been really well absorbed over many years, but the Trump administration has certainly been accelerating it, that if you make use of public benefits, you should feel ashamed about that. There is something the matter with you. And to me, that is just so outrageous because every one of us has been contributing through our taxes, through our work, to have those programs exist so that anyone who needs them can use them. And we know, the data show us, that most of us are one lost paycheck away from needing Three Squares Vermont right now. And so, you know, I would love to see, I mean, these kinds of efforts just increase the sense of stigma and the sense of frustration and the sense of a desire to not even apply for these programs in the first place. We should all be celebrating these programs and calling for them to be improved, expanded, and the amount of benefit that people can receive increased to match the true cost of food today. That would transform our society and our healthcare system and our education system right there.
Let me, I want to circle back in the first half hour, Honora, you talked about the action that people can take to stop the changes coming down from the Trump administration that would kick millions of people off of SNAP, which is food stamps. Mm-hmm. And maybe Doug Davis, I should let you go since you've been generous with your time here, and I know it's the first day of school there in Burlington. Mm-hmm. Thanks so much, Doug, for joining us here on the Vermont Conversation.
You're very welcome, Dave. Thanks so much for shining a light on this really important issue. If there's anything more we can do, just let us know.
Okay. And Doug Davis is the Food Services Director for the Burlington School District. Honora, what can people do to stop these cuts from happening?
Yeah. So I know that a lot of times you hear people say, write a letter. And often we feel like, oh, writing a letter, maybe that's not doing that much. In this case, writing and submitting a public comment to the Trump administration opposing these rule changes is the absolute number one top best thing that you can do right now to slow down or stop these rules from getting implemented. Public comment is a legal requirement that they have to go through it before they can make this kind of rule change behind kind of outside of the congressional process. And we have until September 23rd to flood, I mean tsunami flood, USDA with public comments from every corner of Vermont and all over the United States. This is a national campaign that is being waged, so that they have to wade through and process every single one of those comments before they can even take the next step of starting to really write out this rule. So all you need to do this, anyone can do it, and groups and organizations can do it as well. Go to Hunger Free Vermont's website, www.hungerfreevt.org/protect3squaresVT. Or if you just type in Hunger Free Vermont Protect Three Squares into a search engine, it will actually get you to that page. We have everything you need there to write your comment, submit your comment, and notify every single person you know through Facebook posts, tweets, front porch forum, whatever you need. We've got all kinds of sample language you can use so that you can reach out to all your networks and get everybody in the entire state of Vermont to submit a public comment by September 23rd.
Okay. And before we finish, Honora, I just want to ask about your own journey to being an activist. You were for many years an academic, teaching history in universities. Why did you make the switch, and what has it been like for you?
Well, so first of all, before I was an academic, I was an activist. I felt like this was a returning to my roots and my true calling in a lot of ways, to come back to the advocacy world. But being a history teacher, being a history professor for all those years, really taught me something powerful. And that is that we have this idea that we always are making progress. History is the story of us learning from our terrible, terrible mistakes and getting better and better and better as a nation and a people. And actually, that's just not true. And there's so many examples in history of things going backward and of us losing rights that we had gained, losing clearly understood ways that we all work together on something. And we're in one of those times right now where the only way that we're going to really keep making this country and Vermont a better place to live is if we really stand up and fight for it. And right now, today, the fight is about food assistance. And tomorrow, it might be about something else. So we really do all need to come together. But the other thing history teaches us is that people power does a lot. It is really possible to transform the world and our basic understanding of it and how it should work through a lot of people taking action. And that's what we need to do right now.
Hmm. Okay. Well, Honora Horton, I want to thank you for joining us on the Vermont Conversation, and just repeat again the website that people can go to make their voices heard to protect people's food assistance. What is that website again?
Yes, www.hungerfreevt.org/protect3squaresVT.
Okay. Honora Horton is the executive director of Hunger Free Vermont. That does it for this week's Vermont Conversation. You can hear this and all shows at our podcast page, which you can find at vermontconversation.com. And you can hear us every Wednesday at 1 for another Vermont Conversation. I'm David Goodman. Thanks so much for listening.
The Vermont Conversation with David Goodman. This special feature from Vermont Businesses for Social Responsibility is underwritten in part by Vermont Student Assistance Corporation, helping students of all ages save, plan, and pay for college and career training. Let's Grow Kids, a statewide campaign about the need for more high-quality, affordable childcare in Vermont to better support our children, families, communities, and economy. Green Mountain Power, delivering clean, cost-effective, and highly reliable power to customers and offering cutting-edge products and services to reduce costs and carbon. The Alchemist Brewery of Waterbury and Stowe, proud B Corp, using the power of business to support a clean environment and economic opportunity for all. UVM Medical Center, Burlington, Vermont, the heart and science of medicine. Stowe Cider, with crisp, clean, and creative award-winning flavors. Visit the tasting room in Stowe or buy Stowe Cider throughout New England, upstate New York, and Washington, D.C. And Concept 2, designers and manufacturers of Concept 2 rowing oars, indoor rower, ski erg, and bike erg, as well as nearly 700 business members of Vermont Businesses for Social Responsibility who believe that sustainable business practices value people, planet, and profit.